Welcome to the Love Lab Podcast, a safe and fun place to get real and learn about sex. Whether you're a man or woman, single or couple, this is the show for you. I am your host, Kevin Anthony, and I am here to guide you to go from good to amazing in the bedroom and your relationships. Welcome back to the Love Lab Podcast. This is episode 292, and it's titled The Real Science Behind Female Arousal with Dr. Haran Padmanathan. Now, I know if you're a longtime listener to the show, you might be thinking, that sounds familiar. Didn't you already do an episode on the science behind female arousal? Yes, I did, but today's is going to be different. So in the previous episode, I had a woman on, Pamela Madsen, and she had worked with a university where they were basically using questionnaires to ask women about their arousal. And there were actually some really valuable things that were learned from women about what they need in order to be aroused. And I used the term science because they actually did a scientific study on this. People, for some reason, seem to think that that wasn't real science. So I now have somebody who is an absolute expert in science, like the science, the actual physical medical science behind female arousal. So if you don't get what you're looking for in this episode, I don't know what to tell you, because I think we're going to get pretty deep into female arousal, how it works, where it goes wrong, what can be done about it, some new innovative solutions for it. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. But before I do that, a short word from my sponsor. Power and Mastery 3.0 is here. The men's sexual mastery program you have heard about on the show for a long time is now even better. I've personally reviewed every module, lesson, video, audio, and PDF to see if there's anything new that needed to be added. As a result, I have added 10 new videos, 1 new audio, 8 new PDFs, and dozens of links to handpicked products to help support your journey to mastery. In addition, there's also a brand new user interface that makes it easier to navigate the course and find your course materials. So if you are ready to become the sexual master you have always wanted to be, then go now to powerandmastery.com. Okay. My guest today is Dr. Haran Padmanathan. He is a professor of urology and lead investigator and consultant for Viagra and Cialis, now co-founder of the femtech company Vela Bioscience. Welcome to the show, Dr. Haran.
Hi, Kevin. Nice to be on. Thank you.
Okay, so we're going to dive pretty deep here into basically the science of arousal. But before we do that, I'm wondering, I mean, your bio kind of gives a clue as to what your background is, but I'm wondering if you could tell the audience a little bit more about what your background is in studying human sexual arousal.
Sure. Thanks for the question. And my background is in smooth muscle physiology and pharmacology, originally applied to the development of Viagra, Cialis, Levitra, Muse, Cabergec, things for male arousal. So arousal in men is, in both genders, it's a blood flow event, and separate from desire, which is a complex brain event, if you will. And arousal in women is also a pelvic event, and both men and women are, when they are aroused, the smooth muscle, either in the penis or in the clitoris and the wall of the vagina, relax, and that produces blood flow in, and in men it's an erection, and in women it's lubrication, engorgement, and a slight erection of the clitoris as well. So my research originally was involved in developing drugs for ED. We're now focused at Vela Bioscience on female sexual arousal.
Great. Thank you for that description, because I think that really sets the stage for everything that we're going to talk about now. So, you know, if you're listening, realize this is one of the top guys who's been studying how this works in both men and women. Okay, so you mentioned a little bit of the differences, the similarities actually, and the differences between male and female sexual arousal. I'm curious, what made you switch from studying male arousal to female arousal?
Well, that's a really good question, and part of that is market-driven. There are so many drugs out there that are effective, and particularly a class of drugs called PDE5 inhibitors. You know them as Viagra, Cialis, and Levitra. for men, there really wasn't an opportunity to continue doing a large amount of clinical drug development for men, driven by a market that was met, if you will. In women, there's a huge unmet need. There are no drugs or other prescription medication for female sexual arousal problems. There are for desire problems. Valesi is an example, but not for arousal in women. And so at Vela Bioscience, we decided we wanted to approach this from a nutraceutical or a non-pharmaceutical approach, but we also have some pharmaceutical aspects in play in a separate company.
So I'm curious, because that's a great answer, and that makes total sense, right? Like, the market is saturated for men, but there's a huge demand over here on the side for women that's not being met. That makes complete sense. I'm curious if you have any stats on the current state of women. So like, how many women are experiencing a lack of arousal or difficulty getting arousal, that sort of thing?
Right. So I think arousal problems have been well studied in arousal dysfunction and, for example, post SSRI antidepressant treatment, but large population studies have sort of asked the question, are you satisfied with, you know, desire, arousal, orgasm? Are you satisfied with your sex life? And Schifrin and other researchers have reported that as women age, the prevalence of sexual dissatisfaction, maybe sexual dysfunctions, are not different from what we saw in men. After the age of 45, nearly a third to a half of women complain of dissatisfaction with sexual activity, including arousal. So it's a large market, similar to what we saw with ED in men over the age of 45.
Now, see, I think that's really interesting because I don't think a lot of people really think about it from the women's perspective. Like, you know, there's so much talk in media and, you know, even in, you know, shows or in the realms that you know, I work about men's sexual dysfunction. We hear about it all the time. But yet we don't hear much about women's sexual dysfunction. And what you're telling me is that there's basically a relatively equal percentage of women that suffer from women's sexual dysfunction as men.
Right. And I mean, I was talking about the numbers in women over 45, but it also exists in women under 45, particularly if they're taking antidepressant therapies. Part of that is maybe the fact that there aren't drugs for it, and thus there is a huge unmet need. But I think the discussion, particularly around menopause and sexual dysfunction, is really growing. And as we know, there is increasing investment in female sexual wellness. Now, we look at wellness as enhancing function that exists as opposed to treating a dysfunction. And at Vela Bioscience, we study arousal in a very scientific manner to develop products that are effective for enhancing arousal. We haven't studied, and we don't make claims about treating sexual dysfunction. However, we did discover that some of the molecules that we were interested in can, when applied topically, potentially treat SSRI or antidepressant-related sexual dysfunction. And we spun out a second company, Otrera Medical, to address that. But Vela Bioscience is purely focused on enhancing function and in wellness, not in treating sexual dysfunctions.
Yeah, and that's important that you make that clear. And yet at the same time, you know, when you ask a woman, you know, about what challenges she's having, you know, she doesn't necessarily care if it's classified as a dysfunction or just, sure, you know, a low libido or low, you know, ability to get aroused. All she's really concerned about is, how do I fix this?
And right. It's part of a spectrum. You're absolutely right. You know, to go from wellness to dysfunction is a part of the spectrum.
Right. And I like the fact, so you talked about the fact that they are, and you've spun off separate companies to work on some of the more pharmaceutical things. But I love the focus here of Vela, which is really from the nutraceutical point of view.
Right.
And I definitely want to talk more about that in a little bit, because I'm really interested in what you're doing with nutraceuticals and how that all works. But before we get there, I want to talk a little bit more about the differences between, say, men's and women's erections. So, or arousal, sorry. Could you describe how a woman's arousal works? Like, what's the mechanism? How does this happen?
Sure. when you have desire, or otherwise stimulated, sexually, in an intimate situation, a impulse goes from the brain down to a neurological impulse down to the erectile tissue, whether it's in men or women. In women, it's the smooth muscle, the involuntary muscle in the clitoris, because the clitoris can get semi-erect. An engorgement of the vulva, which includes the labia minora and the wall of the vagina. That relaxation of the muscle lets blood flow in and you get engorgement, but it also results in something called transudation, which is the essentially the leakage of serum into the vaginal vault, creating lubrication. So the hallmark of arousal in men is an erection. In women, it's engorgement of the genitalia and lubrication of the vagina, which facilitates and promotes orgasm. So that's arousal in a nutshell.
Yeah, and that was a great description, really to the point, really easy to understand. So thank you for that. So when it comes to female arousal then, at what part in that process does it tend to go wrong?
Well, if we're talking about diseases or disorders, it's a multifactorial event, so it could be a neurological problem, it could be a vascular problem, and it could be that the muscle is just not working or degenerating with age problem. So, or it could be that the hormonal milieu, menopause, is diminishing the function of the smooth muscle or accelerating atherosclerosis in the arteries that are delivering blood. But that's dysfunction. I mean, arousal may, in a spectrum, may diminish with age from a multitude of factors, not necessarily to meet a definition of dysfunction, but still, as you pointed out, to cause distress and for women to seek some help. And there are options, actually, to enhance female sexual arousal that are, I don't know if nutraceutical is the right word, but we can certainly go into what our basic science research and clinical science research was that helped us develop what we call Lella Pleasure Serum, which is a serum of cannabidiol in liposomes. And we can talk about that.
Oh, yeah, we will definitely get to that because I'm interested in that product and how it works. You mentioned that, okay, if it's not dysfunction, right, short of that, there are a multitude of factors. Could you just give a few examples of what some of those might be?
Well, I mean, there are the psychological ones, relationship issues, lack of desire, that or lack of success in having orgasms. It's well known that, you know, men are linear. They go from an interest, erection, orgasm, ejaculation. Women are not so linear in their sexual response cycle, and desire may not be present, but if you can have an orgasm, desire may increase secondarily. The things that go wrong are hormones, blood flow, end organ, you know, aging effects, and those are the primary critical ones in impacting arousal.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I think that does a really good job of laying the groundwork of what we're talking about, what we're dealing with, how the mechanism works within the female body, what types of things can potentially get in the way. So let's talk now a little bit about you know, basically what you can do about it. And this is where your product is going to come in. But there may be some other things too. So from your perspective, when a woman is dealing with low sexual arousal, what are some of the things that she can do to shift that?
Sure. You know, I mean, arousal is not the end all. It's arousal facilitates orgasm. And oftentimes women complain about not having an orgasm. Rarely do they say, well, it's a lubrication problem, but I can orgasm, right? So the two go hand in hand. And there are things that you want to maybe ask your physician to check out, your hormone levels, particularly estradiol, and whether you're perimenopausal, But at the end of the day, if the hormone status is normal, there's very little that medicine has to offer as far as pharmaceutical treatments for arousal problems. But there are options, as we discussed before, that are non-pharmaceutical.
Well, let's talk about some of those. What are those options?
So, there is a plethora of products out there that claim benefit for women from whether it's arousal or orgasm, and virtually none of them have had any scientific testing. So if you look at what happened during the pandemic, there were a lot of wellness and self-care products, including sexual wellness products, that came out, and they were placed and kind of marketed like beauty products, you know, a promise with no data. What we've done at Vela Bioscience is completely bring science into the development and to the data that we can provide to women on whether we have a product that would work for you and what the probability of success would be. So we went back and we used the same things that we used in developing things like Viagra. We studied a number of different compounds, including a lot of cannabinoids that are not psychoactive, meaning don't get you high. And cannabidiol, or CBD, was one of those molecules. We've also studied sildenafil, or what is the brand name, Viagra, but it's a pharmaceutical. We've studied a number of molecules and their ability to relax vaginal smooth muscle. And if we see what's called a dose response, where small increasing amounts of the molecule we're interested in will produce increasing relaxation of that vaginal smooth muscle, we know we have a product that will have an effect. The issue with CBD or cannabidiol is that it's highly lipophilic, meaning it's fat friendly, and it doesn't really go beyond the surface when you apply it topically. And so we, in our pleasure serum, have encapsulated it in what are called liposomes. Liposomes are nanoencapsulations that make it water soluble and deliver our CBD actively to that smooth muscle to get a real effect, which you won't see by applying oils to topically. This is a very sophisticated nanoencapsulation and serum. And those liposomes also confer the ability to be condom compatible. We've done third-party testing, and that we think if you have a product for sexual enhancement, you've got to also facilitate safe sexual activity, that is, being able to use a condom. And we have done clinical studies, including looking at blood flow at what's called vaginal photoplethysmography, where a probe is placed internally following the application of the Vela or a placebo, and you get to watch a neutral video, which might be a cartoon, for example, and an erotic video that's you've selected to be stimulating as the volunteer. And we've demonstrated the Vela does increase blood flow both to neutral visual stimuli and more so to erotic stimuli. But finally, we did a pilot trial of women that were both premenopausal, you know, young women, 23 to older postmenopausal women, 63 years of age. And we saw, four trials of Vela topical serum. It's an external application, and the vulva, the labia minora, that is, and the outside of the vestibule and the clitoris. You wait 20 minutes, and what we've demonstrated is that in women that were already orgasmic, there was a 60% increase in arousal, meaning the ability, the frequency and or maintenance of lubrication. 9 out of 10 women had an improvement in a parameter or more of orgasm, with 40% having increased frequency of orgasm, 50% increased ease of orgasm, and 60% increased intensity of orgasm. And these are, this was a pilot trial with that was open label. We're about to embark on a statistically powered a randomized clinical trial that's placebo controlled of 250 women. But we have a real world experience with over a couple hundred thousand women, and the overall response rate and satisfaction rate with the pleasure serum in women, regardless of age, is 65% to 70%. So we're seeing what we saw in the pilot trial validated in the real world.
Yeah, those are some pretty high numbers. How does that compare to, like, say, you know, when a new drug is launched? Like,
Okay. Let's talk about men and Viagra. I was one of the authors of the New England Journal publication on the Viagra pivotal data. And in that study, where everything is ideal and you get support and you come in and you participate in the study, the response rate for Viagra was 70%, which is, you know, outstanding. In the real world, it's closer to 50%. Because other factors come into play. So we're in a different population. One, women. Two, not a physical abnormality or not a dysfunction by medical definition. It's an enhancement. And the response rates are 66% to 70%. So, you know, it's comparing apples to oranges, but it is really, for the first time, the scientific validation that there are ways for women to enhance their arousal, to increase their probability of frequency, ease, and intensity of orgasm, and to do it in a safe setting with, you know, condom, something that's condom compatible. We've also studied the effect, should you apply this internally, which is unnecessary, or have some concerns about an internal application. Vela Pleasure Serum has been studied on its effect on the vaginal microflora, and it does not change the vaginal microbiome.
Well, that's good to know. That's literally the first thing that popped into my head when you were saying internal application. I'm saying, oh man, you put anything in there, you can mess with that internal flora. So you've actually studied that.
Yeah, we do things exactly like we would if we were a pharmaceutical company. We study everything. We just haven't been, you know, we've decided there is a entity that Velas Bioscience sponsored, and I'm the chairman of it. It's called the Consortium for the Study of Women's Sexual Wellness. And we have a scientific advisory board comprised of a dozen past presidents of the International Society for the Study of Women's Sexual Health. This is the largest female sexual medicine society. And we have the past presidents from their pioneers in the field. We also have past presidents from the North American Menopause Society. And what the consortium is trying to do is say enough of the kind of beauty promise squishy stuff that female sexual wellness has been producing, and let's shift this to be medical adjacent. We're not pharmaceuticals, we're not a pharmaceutical company, but we can bring the same science, and women deserve to know what the probability, what the data is, that if they try a product, that they will have success, you know. And there's a real concerted effort to also profile other companies that are bringing science to the field. And I think it's about time to shift female sexual wellness out of beauty, out of cosmetics, whatever it is that it's been in, to medical adjacent. There's a enormous amount of science and clinical research instruments and tools that exist in that field. The wheel doesn't need to be reinvented. We just need to apply it to wellness and to wellness for women so that we can give them data on products as to whether they're effective and well tolerated.
Yeah, I love that approach of using the best parts that science has to offer, right, and applying it to something that is not necessarily a chemical that may potentially have side effects. So merging those two worlds together, I think, really is a fantastic way to go. I'm curious, just by what you've mentioned, are you also working on other products for female sexual wellness that also blend this research approach with this more, for lack of a better term, I know I used nutraceutical earlier, that maybe that's not the right term, but sort of more, I guess, natural, not non-pharmaceutical type product.
Right. Right. And cannabidiol are cannabinoids that are not like THC, meaning ones that, you know, they have, there are some that are pro-sexual and some that are not. So we're not a cannabis company. We're a wellness company that likes to approach things in a very scientific, pharma-adjacent way. We identified a number of female sexual and genital urinary wellness targets. Menopause is complicated, and we have nothing that's a product yet for menopause except a a lube that we have that has hyaluronic acid in it, and it's the Elixir. The hyaluronic acid is hydrating, and it's a nice combination with the Vela Pleasure Serum for use in women that are particularly over that are in menopause. But an area where we've really made some headway on applying the same science, if you will, to develop a product is for dysmenorrhea, which is painful menses. 90% of women have painful menses, sometimes to the point of debilitating pain that results in loss of work and other quality of life issues. So the pain that comes, primary dysmenorrhea is lifelong, not associated with a medical disease or disorder, and not associated with endometriosis or adenomyosis. It starts from the onset of menarche and is persistent lifelong and isn't associated with a medical disease or disorder. What's the pain from? The pain is from prostaglandins, which stimulate nerve fibers that make you feel pain. Where does that prostaglandin in the uterus come from? Well, when the uterus is contracting and shedding the lining and expelling that shed, that muscle contraction also causes a lack of oxygen and a release of prostaglandins that create pain. If you can reduce the intensity of those contractions, but not the frequency, you can still get effective, you know, lining, shedding, and discharge, but reduce pain. And we've demonstrated that there are molecules, nutraceuticals, that are able to do that. And we've done a clinical trial in 50 women and demonstrated that you can shift pain from moderate severe down to mild or no pain without any oral analgesics in about 80% of women who have primary dysmenorrhea. We'll be presenting some of that data, and we'll have a product, actually a suppository, late 2024 for the management of primary dysmenorrhea. And of the 50 women that were in the trial, 80% said that they would prefer the suppository as opposed to a oral medication.
Wow, that is very, very interesting. That is definitely a problem a lot of women deal with. And up to this point, other than basically, you know, numbing themselves out with painkillers, I'm not really aware of any other way to deal with that.
Well, there's research ongoing, but no real products that are out there yet. And we hope to have one of the first, if not the first, effective product with data to show how it works, why it works, and how many women would respond. And it's a personal preference. Some people prefer a pill. Other people have no problems with this is an intravaginal suppository mm-hmm. with an applicator. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think most women are generally okay with and familiar with using suppositories because they use them for lots of other things too, you know, whether they have yeast infections or, you know, imbalances in the microbiome, the flora. I think they're pretty used to that. So I can't imagine that would be a hard sell for most women.
Right. Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Okay. So you've got, obviously, the product that we were talking about earlier with the, you know, helping with the arousal. You're working on this one. Is your goal with this company and the consortium to have a full range of things to address all the common issues that women would have?
Well, I think we are focused on sexual wellness. So, you know, we want to improve our products. We want to maybe look at other domains, the other ways to, in an additive or maybe synergistic way with Vela Pleasure Serum to increase orgasm. Because that, at the end of the day, you know, desire and arousal all feed into the end of the game, which is orgasm. We are definitely interested in menopause, definitely interested in genital urinary complications from menopause, and also, as we've discussed, menstrual pain. We're not a pharmaceutical company, but we think we can develop products that are effective and well-tolerated in these domains using, for lack of a better word, non-pharmaceutical nutraceuticals.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think this is really quite exciting that somebody is finally taking the time to do the proper research and to develop products that are non-pharmaceutical that address these areas? Because it does seem, it seems from not only my own perception, but from what you're telling me, that there's a big lack of those types of products in the market at the moment.
There's a ton of products, but they're being promoted like beauty products. You know, it's like a promise. There's no real data. Some of the trials that have been done are phenomenally interesting because they're 100% success, but the success is measured using instruments that aren't validated, that haven't been used in, you know, sexual pharmacotherapy research protocols. So the consortium is not involved in promoting products. The consortium is involved in promoting bringing science to female sexual wellness and serving women the same way we've served and I've served men in the past in developing ED drugs and in developing the field of male sexual pharmacotherapy.
Well, anytime you see a study that says 100% success rate, you should be weary. Right. That should be the first red flag right there, because nothing ever has 100% success rate.
Right. But I mean, you know, unless you can tell people that, you know, this has a, let's just say a 50% success rate, right? Women will then go into it without that information thinking it's 100% or it should work for them. And I think you have to have realistic expectations, because when we're dealing with biology, as you said, nothing is 100%.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with that. Realistic expectations. And I don't know the effectiveness of these other products, but, you know, having heard, you know, what you've said about the way they haven't done the testing, or the way they do testing and show it's 100%. The thing that bothers me about that is you have women who are really seeking help or relief in a particular area, and they're made a bunch of promises that may or may not actually live up to the promise. And that's unfortunate, right? So I think the more data, the more information that they can have to make a choice about what's the right thing for them, and going into that choice with a reasonable expectation is very valuable.
Yeah, no, we agree with that. I think we're on the same page on that. And it's not cosmetics. It's not, you know, it's not your skin glowing. You're looking to reduce distress, enhance your function, enhance your intimacy, enhance your relationships. And you'd like to know whether you've paid for something that actually has any potential for benefit. And there are probably products out there that haven't been studied that have a potential. And the consortium and its scientific advisory board is here to help those companies develop their products and provide expertise and support if they're interested in doing so. We'd like to build a whole community of companies and products that actually are there for sex care, something we've trademarked as a concept and something that we believe strongly in, the use of science in the service of women.
Well, that's interesting. That's a good point to bring up there, that with the consortium, you're not just doing that for specifically your company. You want to open it up to all these other companies and say, hey, if you want help using science to validate your product, we're here to help you. I'm really curious to see how many of them take you up on that.
Well, there are other companies out there that are doing, maybe not for arousal, applying good science. For example, there are smart vibrators that can study your orgasm. And there are devices that are, and we'll be profiling these companies and we'll call them out. There are companies that are studying other areas of female sexual wellness or female genital urinary wellness in a very scientific manner. And we want to call those out. We just don't have any companies that have studied arousal. And this requires a great deal of expertise, really. You know, our basic science studies, they're done by the premier lab in Paris. Our vaginal photoplethysmography studies done by an expert in this area from the Kinsey Institute that's in Los Angeles. So, and my expertise and our lab's expertise in developing liposomes and in knowing what to study and how to study, these are very specific levels of expertise, and they're not readily available. And certainly if you don't have a scientific background and you're in the wellness space and you don't know what to do, we'd be happy to, from the consortium's perspective, at least give you some direction on what you should be studying and maybe who you should be talking to.
Well, I think that's a tremendously valuable resource. Now, obviously, companies who don't have a lot of faith in their product may want to run in the other direction. But if you really believe in your product, I think that's a tremendous resource that they have potentially available to them.
Right. And I think that you're going to see that there's going to be a shift in this, where if you aren't studying things and you aren't able to provide data, the viability of your product will be, questioned.
Right. So as more companies get on board, the ones that don't get on board are suddenly going to lose a lot of market share.
Right. We use a contract research organization for our clinical trials that's excellent, Citrus Labs. And, Citrus is also trying to get and inspiring companies. And I think companies understand that ultimately it is the consumer who's going to drive the field. And the consumer is demanding data. And so there are other entities, not necessarily in developing arousal products, but like Citrus and CROs and other people, biostatisticians, et cetera, that are available to drive this field towards a more scientific, to be medical adjacent, if you will, mm-hmm. for lack of a better term. And I think that's going to happen regardless. So either you're doing it now and understanding that's where the field's going, or you probably won't be a player in the future.
Yeah. Well, as long as the science that's being done is genuine science and not science rigged for profit, this is an amazing thing.
Yeah, and there are great guidelines on, the NIH is involved in questionnaires that look at outcomes. There's great science that already exists that can be deployed in the wellness arena. So, we'll even be able to compare apples to apples or apples to oranges when we look across products in the future, and maybe even head-to-head trials, preference trials. But the first trials to do are the randomized placebo-controlled double-blind trials where you compare it to placebo, because sexuality and sexual enhancement and sexual dysfunction treatment have a large placebo response rate.
Yeah, and I imagine there's a certain amount of subjectivity in patients' responses too. Not so much in measuring, the relaxation of a muscle or the amount of lubrication, but in how they report the experience.
But that report is important, right? Yeah, in developing drugs for sexual dysfunction, the FDA puts great weight on patient-reported outcomes, whether it's a questionnaire or a diary in the events at home, because the proof is in the pudding. That, at the end of the day, is what's important, not whether there's lubrication or the muscle relaxed, but were you aroused? Did you have an orgasm? Were you satisfied?
Indeed. That's what it comes down to at the end of the day. Was the sex good? Did you enjoy it? Are you satisfied? Okay, I went a little bit past when I would normally do a break, so I'm going to just do a quick break, and then I want to come in and ask you just two last questions, and then we'll wrap up. All right. Are you a couple? Are your relationship and sex life where you want them to be? Are there changes you would like to make but just don't know how? Maybe you think there is nothing that can be done. If you are not 100% happy with where your relationship or sex life is, then get help today and change your life. Go to kevinensaline.com/sex-coaching-couples. Don't worry about the long link. It is in the description below. Schedule a strategy call with me today so we can map out a strategy to get you where you want to be so you can have it all your way. That is kevinensaline.com/sex-coaching-couples. The link is in the description below. One of the advantages to working with me when your sex life is not where you want it to be is that I get to interview interesting people like my guest today, and I get to learn all of this stuff, and then I get to share it with you through my coaching. So go check that out, kevinensaline.com/sex-coaching-couples. Okay, so I'm wondering if you have any last advice for women, or even potentially for men, if they're experiencing that their woman has, low arousal and they're not sure what to do about it. But any last advice for people who may be experiencing low female sexual arousal?
Well, I think the advice is, if you think this is something serious, you should probably seek medical attention. But if it's been something that's been creeping up and age-related or not age-related, and you want to try something over the counter, You, by the way, our website is VellaBio, VellaBio.com. You can try VellaBio Pleasure Serum for arousal. I think the important thing is you know, interestingly, you bring half of our sales are to men for their partners. So, you know, include your partner in the discussion. Seek medical attention, perhaps, if you're concerned. There are products for desire disorder that a doctor can prescribe. There are lubricants that may facilitate painless sexual activity and ones that are specifically for menopause. But Bella Pleasure Serum is the only agent that's been clinically demonstrated to be effective in enhancing female sexual arousal.
Well, I think that is great advice, obviously. Always good to be checked out by your doctor first to rule out anything that's really a problem. And then from there to look at options like the serum that you guys make. So, yeah, I think that's a good route, good recommendation for people. Any last words?
No, I'd like to thank you, Kevin, and hopefully your viewership found this interesting and informative. It was a nice long discussion. Thanks for the opportunity.
You're welcome. I do, however, have one last question for you. It's a question I ask everybody that comes on the show. And it's funny because I have a broad range of people. So for some people, this question is like no big deal at all. For others, they turn pretty beet red in the face. But the question is, what is your best sexual talent?
Oh, my best? Oh, yeah. I think we're talking about women here, so I will... I won't respond to that about me. It's always unusual having two men talking about female sexuality, right? Oh, my talents should be on the back burner.
All right. I'll give you a pass on that one.
All right, thanks.
It is a little interesting, you know, two men talking about, but somebody's got to talk about it, right? The point is it needs to be talked about and it needs to be shared. And we need to get it out there into the mainstream.
Well, I should tell you that our leadership is female. We have a CEO and co-founder, Carolyn Wheeler, who's really passionate about this. I provide the science, she provides the communication and makes the major decisions that result in our success. So we do have female leadership and always defer to the perspective that women bring for products for women.
Absolutely. And, you know, whether it's a product for women or a product for men, I think, you know, we really work best as a team and we can bring both men and women together to work on any problem. I think we come up with better solutions. All right. Thank you so much for coming on the show, talking about what you are up to. I hope that people found it interesting. I did. I'm a tech sort of geek in all realms, whether it's sex or not. Like, I love to know what is new, what are we working on, you know, what kind of things can we expect in the future. So I found it fascinating, and I hope the listeners did as well.
Thank you.
All right, everybody, that's all the time I have for this episode, and I will see you next week. I hope you liked this episode of the Love Lab Podcast. If you enjoy this show, subscribe, leave us a review, and share it with your friends. And for more free, exclusive content, join me in the Passion Vault at kevinandcelene.com/vault. That's kevinandcelene.com/vault. Thanks for listening, and remember, as Celine used to say, you're amazing.